be good enough? Should I just give up?
Front page, WWIB, Carrollton, and tell me the rest of the hour here on this Thursday. We're talking to John Lynch. He's co-author of The Cure. What if God isn't who you think he is, and neither are you? Let's give it just a brief intro of John. He's along with Bruce McNichol and Bill Thrall, co-authors of The Cure. John served for 27 years as teaching pastor at Open Door Fellowship in Phoenix, and recently has stepped out of that role to begin working full-time at a ministry called True Faced, and he can tell us more about that. John's on the line with us from Arizona. John, good morning.
Thank you, Mark. I'm glad I could be here to help you out on a slow news day.
Yeah, right. Not much going on. Boy, the world's gone crazy. I've said it before, you know, that Mel Brooks movie, it was called It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, and it was like about 40 years too early, right? So
that's right. Absolutely. Oh, just tragic to be on the other end of this line hearing those videos that you're playing.
Yeah. But anyhow, we want to celebrate your book, The Cure. What if God isn't who you think he is and neither are you? And a lot of excitement here building in the Chippewa Valley for your two different speaking engagements, both at Calvary Church on a Saturday night on the west side of Eau Claire, and then also Sunday morning, July 18th at Valley Brook Church. So,
yeah, I am so excited to be coming to Eau Claire. So this is wonderful. Just thanks for having me on.
All right. I mentioned that you're working with True Faced now. Tell us, this is it's got the True Faced stamp on it. Tell us about True Faced.
Yes. True Faced is a ministry that is trying to express this way of life that is as old as the scriptures, as old as the design and heart of God, that we would live out of our identity in Christ. And what difference would that make in a family, in a marriage, if I saw myself as a saint with a new nature and a new heart on my worst day, instead of seeing myself as a failed sinner who will never be enough or quite acceptable to God? What difference would that make in how I would raise my kids, how I would be as a boss or a husband or wife or an employee or a coach? And so that's been our passion. We have online courses that we teach it from. I go speak some. Bruce and Bill do also. We write books, all directed in what does an environment of grace look like? What does a community of grace look like? A grace that is not a false permission, a grace that is not antinomianism, but a grace that actually allows me to face my sin and mature and heal out of believing who Christ says I am.
Let's not assume everybody knew antinomianism. So a grace that's not antinomianism, what do you mean?
Antinomianism is that early church statement of the antinomian group who was saying grace just said, I can do whatever I want to do. Grace just says, because it is coming from my flesh and not my spirit, that it doesn't count, and so I'm not responsible for my behaviors. So that heresy early on in the church had to be dealt with.
All right. I think that it's interesting you talk about identity, and I think going through The Cure, it's a mixture of kind of nonfiction, straightforward talking to the reader, but also kind of an account. And it calls to mind to me parts of a variety of books, like maybe even Pilgrim's Progress a little bit in terms of the story.
Yes.
But then also
very
when you
much.
Talk about identity, I think about Neil Anderson. There's other things in here that made me think about Jerry Bridges. So it's kind of pulling together a variety. And again, in a day and age where sometimes, especially us guys, aren't the biggest and best readers, you do it all in just over 100 pages.
Absolutely. Well, that's been a goal in most of our books. In fact, we'll have a new parenting book coming out in October, and we'll do the same thing. Hopefully a lot of pithy reality in truth and theology, but it's all encapsulated in a story of a family going on vacation together after the dad and the 14-year-old daughter had a blowout fight the night before. So a lot of the time, it's too hard to just capture didactic, heavy truth without some pictures and scenes and windows. So that's been our goal.
Yeah, that's smart. All right. Well, the title is it's called The Cure. What if God, and then the subtitle, What if God isn't who you think he is and neither are you? So John Lynch, let me ask you, and by the way, this isn't the John Lynch who played NFL football for Tampa and then Denver. Not the same
guy. If I am, I've let myself go considerably. I really
All right.
have.
Very good. Yeah. But help me out. Let's use the subtitle as a starting point in terms of digging in here. What do you have in mind in terms of the Christian conception of who people think God is and how they view themselves?
Yes. Well, maybe let me start with myself, that I many of us that we run into as I teach and I speak and I go different places feel like they are constantly in arrears, that the God that they know and want and love, they have never been enough for, and that they are always falling short, and that he is always mildly disgusted or disappointed or always feeling like they will never match up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they perform for God and they try to keep him happy, but they feel like they never are doing it quite enough. So there's always this nagging sense of shame, that statement that says there's not just that you did something wrong, but there's something uniquely, particularly wrong about you, and it will never get better no matter what you do. So there is that sense of going after that carrot that you can never quite get to. And so a lot of the readers and people that we run into would say, that has been my entire life experience. I have seen myself that way. And I've seen God that even though he loved me enough to die on the cross for me, he is disappointed with me. He's never fully has been able to accept me because of my behavior. And so I see this God who is disappointed, angry, frustrated, always expecting more than I can give, and somehow I can't make him happy. Somehow I can try to glorify him, I can lift his name up, but he is too disappointed with me. He wished I had done better, and so instead he stands on the other side of my sin with his arms folded, shaking his head, thinking, I am so disappointed with him. I thought he would do so much more, and he will live a second-class life. So many, many, many of us carry that picture not only of ourselves but of God, and we limp along trying to pretend a life of enjoyment or worship that we may not be living out in our hearts.
Talking to John Lynch, the book is The Cure, and what if God isn't who you think he is and neither are you? So let's talk about that in terms of unbelievers and believers. I mean, certainly if you're an unbeliever and you've not even been saved, I mean, certainly you can have that mindset, right? That God is a punisher and that he's got the rolled up news.
That's right.
Okay. But that I'm hearing a lot of this is being written to a Christian audience. Isn't that true? I mean, hey, if you can get unbelievers along the way, that's great. But I mean, these are a lot of folks who are, they were saved by grace. They may know that glorification will be a result of God's grace, but that in between, they kind of have that mindset of American, pull themselves up by their bootstraps, and then they feel like, well, I just can't live up to the high demands of the Christian life.
Well said. We understand grace for justification of, oh, gosh, I couldn't do anything to achieve that. And we understand it for glorification, but that whole piece from the moment I trust God to the moment I do get home, called sanctification, we see ourselves as that's our responsibility, and we ought to get to work and, like you say, pick ourselves up by the bootstraps, and God helps those who help themselves, and that's in Scripture somewhere, like behind Malachi or something, but it's not. And so we live that whole life thinking, God says, look, I saved you, now pull it together. And so that's part of the concept that we are trying to address in this.
Yeah. No, it's a huge concept, and I want to talk more with you about it when we come back, John Lynch, because I think what you've done here in just over 100 pages in The Cure is bring together, I'm thinking of multiple books, whether it's Chap Clark, The Performance Illusion, which was very helpful to me in this regard.
Yeah.
Okay, you're familiar with it. Jerry Bridges, Transforming Grace, very helpful to me in this, and Neil Anderson stuff. And you guys are to be applauded for streamlining and pulling that together, because this is a message that continually needs to be going out, whether it's from the pulpits or Christian media to folks. And And so people encourage him to pick up a copy of The Cure, but also plan to check out John. He'll be there for a night of worship and heart ministry. It's called The Two Roads, okay? Don't miss it. A week from Saturday, Saturday night, July 16th. If I got the days wrong, I apologize. But it's July 16th at Calvary Church in Eau Claire, and then Sunday morning, July 17th at 10 in the morning at Valley Brook Church in Eau Claire. More with John Lynch on The Cure coming up on WIB.
Enjoy summertime, rain or shine, in a new Lazy Boy, Serta mattress, or Best Craft living room set from Bush & Gillis. Qualified buyers get 12 months interest-free, plus local delivery and disposal of your old furniture. Relax. See Bush & Gillis Furniture, Cameron, Ladysmith, and Spooner.
What's your family up to this summer? Swimming lessons?
Mom, I'm hungry.
Sightseeing?
Is there anything to eat here?
Road trip?
Mom, I'm starving.
Count on it. Your summer schedule may be full, but your kids won't be. Fill them up with tasty 1-ounce snack cheeses with naturally derived omega-3s from Omega Valley Farmers of Wisconsin. Stock up. Omega Valley Farmers delicious snack cheeses are now available in multi-packs. It's real Wisconsin cheese for a real Wisconsin summer. Omega Valley Farmers, naturally better.
It's not karaoke.
It's a battle.
Do you have what it takes?
And my heart will go.
Enter WWIB's Battle of the Bands, benefiting Feed My People Food Bank. August 5th at Goodies, Sweet Treats, and more on beautiful Lake Wissota. The winning band will receive a new Fender acoustic guitar and gig bag from Morgan Music in Eau Claire. Plus, sweeten up the rehearsals with a year's supply of cookies from Goodies. Want in? Message a short audition video to the WWIB Radio Facebook page. All entries must be received by July 15th. It's the Goodies Battle of the Bands, benefiting Feed My People. Audition today.
Lord, I need to hear you speak. Tell me
Carrollton hitting the nail on the head. Tell me, front page, WWIB and WIB.com. We're talking to John Lynch. He's co-author of the book, The Cure. What if God isn't who you think he is and neither are you? And again, a week from Saturday night at 6, he'll be at Calvary Church in Eau Claire, a night of worship, and John sharing, plus also the following Sunday morning, July 17th at 10 at Valley Brook Church in downtown Eau Claire. He's our guest up until 11 today, and then at 11:05 on WOGO, we'll pick up a live coverage from Capitol Hill of the Government Oversight and Reform Committee. Their hearings as they're grilling FBI Director James Comey on the email server investigation regarding former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. But John Lynch, our guest now, and you talk about, again, I think just to talk about the gospel, right? It's by grace we've been saved through faith, not by works, yeah, which we ourselves have done. It's the free gift of God, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And yeah, yet, speak to, John, before I get into this trust versus pleasing God, which is a key part of the book, talk about why do we lose that? I mean, for us individually or even for those in the ministry, because if pastors, and you weren't one for a long time, if pastors aren't helping their people daily be, you know, and weekly be grounded in this, the folks are certainly going to slip away and think that it's about their performance, right?
Or they just stay in their seats week after week, year after year, pretending something that they know they can't do. And they live a double life at home and one in church, and they sing these songs, but at home they live a different life. So, or their kids grow up anesthetized to a faith that didn't become theirs. So the longing for every pastor is this great gift to teach identity and grace to their congregation. I think our fear is if we taught grace that people would just not live for Jesus, that they would try to get away with things, that they would cheat, that they would steal, that they would give themselves permission. And in truth, the very nature of God is in me now. I am Christ in John Lynch on my worst day.
Mm-hmm.
I think our fear is people think, no, I'm a saved sinner. God's up there. Yes, he died for me, but I don't have a new nature. I'm still this bad man who wants to get away with stuff. And the truth is, I'm Christ in John Lynch, fused with him. And on my very worst day, in my worst moment, you can't tell where God ends off and I start up. We are a new fused creature. And I, at my deepest core, I want to love, and I do not want to get away with anything. It's when I have been taught that I am bad, wrong, shameful, that my core value is to want to get away with something, is when I will rebel or be anesthetized. So the longing is, if I can teach our people, this is who you are, and this is who God says you are, and this is the strength that is in you to face your sin, and you can trust God, and he is powerful enough to deal with your sin instead of you trying to bluff that you can and beating yourself up for it. There's an incredible difference in someone who believes that they are actually righteous, actually holy, and someone who is thinking, someday, with enough consecration and enough work and enough effort, I may become sort of holy or sort of righteous. So that conviction, even in Ephesians 4:24 or any of those dozens of verses that says you are actually, now because of Christ in you, actually righteous, actually holy, it causes me mm-hmm. to see my life differently. When an issue of temptation comes up, I don't go back and say, oh, I've always been this way, I'm always going to fail, I'm a saved sinner. Instead, I say, no, I'm Christ in me, and this is not who I am. This is not what I want. And so it's this beautiful statement of the first time ever can Jesus give a commandment that won't cause us to rebel.
Yeah.
He says, love one another. And for the first time, I can obey and not rebel because I have this new nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John Lynch is a co-author of The Cure, and he's coming to Eau Claire a week from Saturday night, 6 to 8. It's billed as the Two Roads event, worship and John sharing and teaching. You don't want to miss it. I mean, they could charge $25 for this, and it's free. So, again, plan to be there, Calvary Church in Eau Claire, a week from Saturday night. You talk a lot in the book, The Cure, about, and again, it's nonfiction teaching, but also a story. Yep. It kind of reminds me of Pilgrim's Progress, is this idea of trusting God. Think about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Our 93-year-old founder, Mabel Louise Stewart, she'll be on in just a few minutes at 11:15, and she's still on the air teaching twice a week. And she said, Mark, it all comes down to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know the verse. But then also, and pleasing, and there's a lot of verses in the Bible about pleasing. And so talk about the way that the book, The Cure, deals with these.
Yes, absolutely. When Bill and Bruce, Bruce McNichol and Bill Thrall are co-authors, and they're my big brothers in the faith, and they came back from a retreat. I'd been speaking at our church, and they came back and said, John, you have to somehow shape a message around this concept of it is more important to trust God than to try to please him. And I said, well, I don't even agree with that. that's not true. And then we spent the night together talking through Hebrews 11:6, that without faith, the noun form of trust, without faith, that Greek word pistos, without trust, it is impossible to please God. So it's not that pleasing God's wrong. It's one of the highest virtues and values and desires that he has put in my heart, but I can't please him without trusting him. So if all I'm trying to do is please God, then it will create a certain mentality and way of life. I will strive. I will perform. I will grind it out, but I will never learn to trust. But if over here, and this is part of the Two Roads talk, that I dare believe that in my worst moment, I wear a robe of righteousness, that I am Christ in me, that God says, John, listen to you. You're doing it. You're trusting me. Oh, and by the way, "You have never pleased me so much in your entire life."
Mm.
His deepest longing is that we would trust who he says we are, and that we would trust who he says he is, and the power that he has to deal with my sin through who he has now made me. And he says, when you do that, now you're pleasing me. Now, nothing over here. You trying to drum something up and perform for me enough, none of it will please me. Only when you trust me does that cause me this greatest, most beautiful joy. So I love to please him. I long to please him. But I want to teach our people how to please him by trust.
You know, it's really helpful to interview you on that, John Lynch, because even as I read the book and I came, I don't want to say armed, but ready with some, you know, favorite passages of mine about please, you know, from Ephesians 5 and elsewhere about pleasing the Lord. And yet that breakthrough, even to hear you say that, and it's helpful to hear you talk about how, and you can hear it in your voice, how passionate and desirous you are to please God. And yet
absolutely,
that Hebrews 11:6 text is the foundation. One more time. That without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so,
and that verb in there, without faith, faith is that noun form of the exact same verb of trust. And he says, without that, without trusting, not just vague trust, but everything that I have said that you are now, and letting yourself live out of that, without that, save your breath. You cannot please me.
So
you cannot please me by grinding it out or trying to achieve something.
Thinking about the word, again, faith, accept, receive, believe, and understanding that. So accepting from God. And now all of a sudden, accepting that and knowing that we do abide by that for that initial salvation. But so often then we feel like the Christian life is about works and not about the trusting. Right,
Mark. That's so well said. That's so well said. And the lie that we live under is that somehow we have to do those works and drum up those works. And he says, if you will trust me, you will live out those works in greater abundance than you ever imagined. It's not that he doesn't want us to do great works. He's just saying you are unable to do them without trusting me. We wrote this statement in here that I think is so valuable on page 46 of the book, The Cure. This is the cruel joke that we play on ourselves, to bluff and pretend that we are righteous, secretly knowing that we aren't, only to eventually discover that we actually were all along. That seems to sum up for us bad religion, that keeps people in this sense of being on this treadmill of having to bluff inadequacy. How you doing, Norma? I'm doing fine. How are you? We're fine. And it keeps people from being vulnerable with each other. If I know that Christ says, I got you, John, you're right on time. I know exactly what's coming up. I got your back. I know who I've made you, and I know how to mature you in your righteousness, then I never have to lie to you. I never have to put on a mask. I never have to pretend that I'm more than I am, because God says, that's my boy, and I make no mistakes with him, and I've got him in this process, and he's trusting me. And his behaviors may be lagging behind. He may not show it, but if you will not keep him under moralism or Pharisaism, then he has a chance to get to live out of that righteousness and holiness that is his.
John Lynch, the book is The Cure, and tell me this, as we're going to go to a break here, but you know, the Reformation was about justification, right? That justification is by grace through faith. Don't you think we need a reformation, a revolution, a renewal of something in terms of Christian identity for believers the world over to awaken to the idea that you are who God says you are. You are a king's kid. You are forgiven. That sanctification is by grace and not by works.
Why am I trying to write this book? Well said. Perfectly said. We need a reformation of sanctification by grace. And we really think, we really believe the reformers, that Luther, that was in their writings, and it was their next move. They first had to, almost very few people doubt now, justification by faith. It's believers mm-hmm. just have gotten that, but mm-hmm. we didn't used to get that. But now it's time to, how do I live? And there needs to be, exactly as you said, a reformation of sanctification by grace.
And again, where we get confused, we'll talk about this more when we come back in our final segment with John Lynch today on WWIB and WIB.com. But it's so often we accept the lie, and you've got a snake on the cover of the book, The Cure.
That's right.
So we accept the lie from the devil, the accuser of the brethren, as Revelation 12 says, because we look at our own performance and we look at that getting upset with our teenager and having that conflict and getting the speeding ticket, and we say, and we hear him and go, yeah, I am bad. And so I want you to speak to that. How is it that God can see us in this way, even though our own performance we feel like is often so subpar? Our guest is John Lynch. He's going to be in Eau Claire. Maybe we'll kick off that Reformation Saturday night, July 16th at 6 o'clock with the Two Roads event at Calvary Church in Eau Claire. Here's Stephen Curtis Chapman off our July gift offer, speaking to this on WIB.
Oh, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God.
It's Macy's One Day Sale Saturday with a preview day Friday with amazing deals of the day store-wide. Take 50% off men's clearance designer collections. Save 50% on select swimwear for her. Take 65% off all clearance fine jewelry. Take an extra 75% off clearance shoes and sandals. And save 50 to 60% on Martha Stewart collection bed and bath. Plus, earn plenty points during Macy's One Day Sale. Plenty, lots of points, lots of places, one rewards program. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices, exclusions apply.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Oh, how great was the cost the Father was willing to pay so we could be called the children of God.
Stephen Curtis Chapman helping us out in our discussion with John Lynch on his book, The Cure. What if God isn't who you think he is, and neither are you? That song, Who You Say We Are, Who the Lord Says We Are. He proclaims you righteous through faith in Christ. You're righteous, my friend. To ask for worship and believe during July with your tax-deductible gift of 40 or more to WIB Incorporated. We'll get back to John in just a moment. But Tuesday wellness seminars continue July 12th from 10 to 11 in the morning at Heritage Assisted Living on Damon Street near Oakwood Mall. This week's topic is 10 things you should know about Lewy body dementia, presented by a caregiver whose mother passed away from the disease. For more information, call Katie at 829-8000, 829-8000. Nobles Tire Service encourages you to celebrate the freedoms we have in our country. Nobles Tire Service. A few more minutes with John Lynch, his book, The Cure, and he'll be speaking on this at the Two Roads event coming up a week from Saturday night, July 16th at 6, a night of worship and teaching at Calvary Church in Eau Claire. And also the following day, Sunday morning, July 17th at 10 at Valley Brook Church in downtown Eau Claire. But so here's the question we said going into the break, John Lynch, and that is that, but I mess up and I screw up. And so people are like, but I have difficulty. How can God see me in this righteous, loving, holy, accepted way when I mess up so royally?
Yes. By the way, I just wanted to mention that Two Roads talk is right at the essence of what we're talking about. I'll kind of act out and teach to this concept of two paths of if I start out with my primary heart motivation of trying to please God, as opposed to starting out with my primary motivation of pleasing or trusting God. So I act that out. So I think they'll be fascinated in getting to get a picture of seeing that. But in answer to your question, it really is the question, how powerful is the shed blood of Jesus? Did it really wash me clean? Did it really make me new? Did it really cause him to say, say, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, by themselves, that it's accepted, or by anyone else, and especially not by me, God says. It is this stunning apprehension of this verse where Jesus makes the declaration in John 10, to the exact extent that my Father loves me, Jesus says. And I'm thinking that's some pretty significant love. To the exact extent that my Father loves me, so also I love you. Now don't run away. Don't run away from my love. I've got you. You can't do this by yourself, and you will continue to be offended by what you see in you. But don't worry. If you'll let me do my work in you, you will not just love more, you will sin less, if you will trust me. So here it is the difference of this picture. Do I believe that Jesus is over there on the other side of my sin, and my sin is between us, and he's always disgusted with me, and he gets further and further away as that pile grows, and it never gets fully eradicated, and I try to, but he's on the other side? Or did the shed blood of Jesus allow him to walk all the way around my sin and to stand with me with his arm around me, saying, I've got you, I know, I'm not ashamed, I'm not mad, and we will deal with this that we're now both looking at together. We will deal with it together. You're right on time. When I trust that, I stop play acting, and I start believing a God who is more powerful than I've let him be. I stop trying to resolve my sin by myself and say, you are strong enough to resolve my sin. I will trust you. And he says, oh, kid, I've been waiting for that for so long. Watch this. And I start to live out a life that is authentic, genuine, not fakely religious, vulnerable, fragile, failed, messy. Oh, is it messy? Oh, what a community that believes these truths is messy, instead of a sanitized pretend goodness. So it is a beautiful way of life, and more of us, as you said, we are finding our way in this generation. I'm discovering we are stumbling now into a reformation of sanctification by grace, where we are admitting, I can't breathe in the other way. I can't live that way. I'm pretending, and my kids can smell it, and I can no longer live that way. And so we're finding this as old as the gospel truth, and we've just taken the shame filter off the scriptures. We've taken the moralism filter off the scriptures, and we get to see Christ's love as it truly is for us.
John Lynch, the book is The Cure, and he's coming to Eau Claire for two events coming up next weekend, July 16th at 6 at Calvary Church in Eau Claire, and then July 17th, Sunday morning at 10 at Valley Brook Church. Let's try to do in these final 5 minutes just some quick hitters, John, because I've got more questions than time allows. But you guys talk a lot about focusing more on trusting, accepting, receiving from God, and then the pleasing will come. But a word I find that I hear a lot that is very performance related is obedience. Just be obedient, obedient, obedient. And that's not wrong. I mean, it's in the Old Testament, the New Testament. But can you speak to that? Because I feel like with the emphasis on that, that's very much related. It seems like even a harder core than just pleasing God.
Absolutely. Well, I have to decide, do I want to teach my kids appeasement or external obedience, where they will do the right thing, but inside their heart has not been changed? I have to. That's one way. But if I say to them, obey, 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 and you better do it because God's, they will do. While they're in your house, they may, if you do it well enough, actually do compliance. But when they leave your home, they will do what they were more convinced of. They won't have a reason. But if I can show them Christ's love, if I can show him his delight, that there is no condemnation, that he's absolutely crazy about them, that if I can show them that they're fused creatures who are he's never disgusted with, never angry with, they never have to run. And instead, it draws them. Their new nature says, oh, I love this Jesus, and I know his love for me. I want to obey from the heart. I don't want to do anything that would break his heart. And so obedience comes not as a roughing them up with a switch, but instead to convince them how loved they are, how known they are, and who they are, so that they never want to run, so that they never want to leave. That's why he says, to the exact degree that my Father loves me, so also I love you. Now you don't ever have to run. You can stay here and know this love, and it will actually create in you a desire to not want to break the heart of God.
Last question. Last question, John Lynch, co-author of The Cure, and that is sometimes, I'm going to try to morph two questions into one. The idea, sometimes if you bring up grace, you get a lot of people, you know, don't get carried away, don't push it, and people are going to just, that's going to be a license to sin. And then we know they're properly preaching the gospel because Paul goes from Romans 5 to Romans 6 and raises that very question. Having said
Absolutely.
That, it's not the idea, you're not, if somebody says, oh, so you're not saying that we shouldn't do any work. I'm thinking of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says, I've worked harder than any of them, yet not I, but the grace of God working within me. So last question, John Lynch, talk about how, as we embrace this grace of God for even more, not only for salvation, but for sanctification, it doesn't mean we stop working for the Lord. We may work all the more, but it's why we're doing
Absolutely.
It, right?
Exactly. You've already said it really well. Right smack dab in the middle of Romans 5 through 8, which I think is the most profound section on how then shall we live in all of Scripture, right in the middle of it, is this astonishing statement that says, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are no longer under law but under grace. That there is something about grace that breaks the power of sin and frees me to love. We just did a series in our church called The Wonderful Hard Works of Love, that the hardest work we can do is to love. It's not to mow a lawn, it's not to whatever, it is to love the unlovely. And he says, that's who you are now. And grace allows your love to come out and play, to love hard things and care for people who don't even want to be cared for, to protect people. So these hard works, almost all of them involve my love being freed to do incredibly difficult things that I cannot do without grace.
It's going to be a great weekend with John Lynch in Eau Claire next weekend. He's got a wonderful dramatic background. He's going to use some of that with his speaking at the Two Roads event. I know at Calvary Church a week from Saturday night. Don't miss it. I think it's going to be a special night. Saturday, July 16th at 6 at Calvary. John, thank you so much. Great to meet you. I love the gentleness that just exudes from you. Thank you so much.
What a privilege to be with you, my friend. And, wow, I'll just be praying for you these next 2 hours.
Thanks so much.